Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, Purpose, Leadership. My guests today are Claire Ross and Sue Jones. They are amazing women, amazing people. They run the mental well-being company, 3B. Their work supports organizations to build a workforce with healthier mindsets. All their training promotes preventative approaches to stress, burnout, and other aspects that could affect people's mental well-being. They also provide coaching and wellness sessions for groups and individuals. Sue and Claire evolved 3B as a result of their own experiences working in stressful environments, struggling with their own versions of burnout and dealing with huge life-changing moments and personal and professional triumphs. What emerged for them was a desire to learn more about themselves and ourselves as human beings and to understand what it was that was occurring throughout the process of emotional, physical, and mental health. Their realization was that many of the expectations we place on ourselves are unrealistic and mostly unnecessary. It's the Claire Ross and Sue Jones show.
We come as a package. We are 3B.
Yeah.
You do come as a package, and it's a very good package, isn't it, Sue Jones?
It is. I think Claire and I bring different things to the table, as it were, and we often say this. One example is just in the way that we work together. So Claire she's the talker. You know, and I often say to her, we were working on a piece yesterday and we sort of went through all this and she sort of came out with all this amazing insight, lots of wisdom.
And lots, I just said, less waffle this time.
Hardly any, minuscule waffle. And I just sort of said to her, where did that come from? Did you have all that written down? She went, no.
Ah, so what Sue is saying is that Claire, you're a doer and you process everything by saying it out loud and sharing your opinion and experience about something and what you've gleaned from it and then helping others to apply it. And Sue, you're saying that you're more the reflector, the more you take time to digest what's being said or what's being done and consider your response. What is it that you guys do? What is the thing? What is the business? How do you help people?
For me, we have a preventative approach. Ours is all about mental well-being. And if we work on having that healthier mindset and work with clients, businesses to support their workers to think about their mental well-being, then hopefully we have that preventative approach from getting into stress, burnout, all those other things that can really be detrimental to us. So that's our main thing. But I think Sue has a really good handle on this and about our sort of tagline as well. What we are is mental well-being experts. We're really good at the mental well-being side of things. There are tons of people out there who can deal with mental health issues. Once you get there, what we want to do is to try and aim for people not even to get to that point by doing things for themselves, working on themselves.
So Sue, Claire suggests you have a good take on your business, on the core of your business, on what it is that you guys do and how you help others. What's your take?
It's the sort of foundation on which we're built. So what's at our core, what's our sort of philosophy, if you like, in the way that we approach what we do, is all grounded in these 3 B's. So, and they are be, believe, and breathe. And this came about from a really long conversation that we had several years ago about what was lacking, I guess, in our own lives and in the lives of the people that we had around us, the clients we were working with, the groups we were working with. You know, this idea that we're often striving for something outside of ourselves, something else that we want to be, someone else that we want to be, or this idea of a future self. You know, I'll be all right when I get to this, when I have the relationship, when I have the job, when I get the qualification, because I'll be different then, you know, my life will be different. And the B is very much about accepting who you are right now, but also thinking about who you are when you are your truest self, you know, when you're most aligned with what's at your core, who is that person? And how can you be more of that person right now, today? And that's our kind of the B side of it. And then the belief came from, obviously, you know, our background as coaches, you know, we're often looking and exploring with people what's limiting them, you know, and is it a belief that they have or a block that they have about themselves or a situation, you know, and I'm just speaking from me personally, that's limited me so much in my life, you know, and I've kind of orchestrated a life often around false beliefs, you know, about the world, about myself, about opportunities, about the way things that have to be. And I suppose what we're trying to get across to people is that, you know, what we might believe about something isn't necessarily true, or it doesn't tell the whole picture. You know, there are other things that are also true. Or what is it that we really believe deep down, you know, when we really start to dig? And then with the breathe one is the simplest one of all to understand. That's just simply about what have you done today to sort of give yourself some time, some space, that kind of feeling, that lack of, you know, there's just no room to breathe because we're in this constant sort of push, push, pressure, pressure, achieve, achieve, achieve. And so the breathe is just about almost making a commitment to yourself on a daily basis to say, what am I going to do today that just gives me, even if it's just 5 minutes, you know, we've all got 5 minutes. So, yeah, and that doesn't have to be, you know, committing to some really intensive yoga practice or, you know, taking up jogging. It's just, could be just something really, really simple. And so we kind of weave that in, you know, through exercises, through reflective stuff, through really helping people to get to know themselves. In all of the work that we do.
So it's mastering those three B's, is it?
Kind of, yeah. I think that's that's what it's about, really. And I think I actually, for me, when I've been in difficult times over the last few years, particularly, I've come back to that. It's grounded me, even to this extent where I even did a daily practice for about a year with it. And I do come back to it if I'm feeling, you know, a little bit on the wobbly side.
I love
should
it.
Do more of it. Sorry.
I love it. It also really resonates with me because I too have experienced a lot of, yes, I would say anxiety over the last, and I'm sure lots of people have over the last sort of year or so with lockdowns and whatnot. But I really do like the breathe element of it because I am one of those folk that love to be thinking about, oh, what next? They tie in nicely because the breathe allows me to be now, to be present. And when I find space, as you suggest, in the breathe dimension of it, I recognize that I can believe in myself.
They're all interlinked. One sort of flows into another. And sometimes there can be like muddy water between the two because it's, they're essential altogether to get you to where you need to be or how you want to feel.
That's a big part of your life. What are we calling it? Work?
I think with me and Sue, this is the thing. I think this is why people get us who buy into us, because it isn't just work. It's not. It's our way of living. We want to live like that. We want to support others to live like that, you know, to have this kindness, non-judgmental attitude for ourselves as well as for other people. So work, yeah, doesn't name it properly for me.
I love it. That's when you find the richness and the commitment and the desire and the willingness to continue, even when, like this year's been pants.
It's that if you're living your values with the work that you do, the stuff that you're delivering, it comes across. And it's something that me and Sue talked about way, way back when we were first starting to think about putting the business together. And we wanted to be authentic, and we get that some people won't buy into us, and we understand that, and that's okay. For those people who do buy into us, great, because they meet our values the same as we meet theirs. So it's having that value base, and I think that's the whole premise. The Be, Believe, Breathe, the 3B, the well-being approach, that preventative thing, it's all about links with our values, our authenticity, how we want to live and how we want to support others. I think that's where the passion comes in.
Yeah. I think the big thing as well, Dion, can I just add that what Claire and I really sort of value as well is that we're not being prescriptive. So there's a lot of sort of methods out there, approaches, ways of working that feel almost, and I think that's often what happens. People are searching again outside of themselves for, oh, well, if I apply this method, then, you know, this is going to solve all my problems. And we see ourselves as enablers, you know, we're there to kind of make spaces for people and create the conditions, if you like, for them to be able to nurture themselves, to grow, to discover what it is that they need to do next. We're not telling them what to do. We're sort of giving them the tools. We're giving them some direction. You know, we're kind of helping them set their own course.
And what about life personally for you two? Claire, I mean, what floats your boat? What do you love most?
Well, what I love most in the world is my dog, Mojo. The Shiba Inu. Yeah, that comes without a doubt. All my friends and family I adore. But yeah, he's always my top of my list. So, yeah.
Very good. And so you love the dog, right? The dog is everything to you.
He means the world to me. He really does. What I have found is I went through a really bad patch. I went into depression. I say I had a breakdown. I just hit this wall. I'd been living a lie and I'd been trying to hold it all in and carry on with work. And where I was working at the time was really stressful and high profile. And suddenly I hit that wall and couldn't do anything. And I remember really, really clearly I'd rung Sue up. And I was walking round the streets with Mojo and I was just saying to her, I can't breathe. Clearly I could. I was walking around the streets. I could clearly breathe, but that's how it felt. I just felt like I couldn't breathe. And I was talking to Sue and she was just going, just keep walking. And she just taught me through it. She just kept saying, just take that breath. It's okay. And I just walked the streets with Mojo and I felt better and I knew I had to go and see a doctor. And what Mojo did for me was he got me out of my bed. I had to go and walk because it was him. He had to go for his walk. Japanese Shiba Inus tend to be that they won't poop and pee in their own garden. So you have to take them for that walk. They won't, they're very clean. So you had to walk him so that he was okay. And he got me out.
Your enabler.
He certainly was. He was my enabler, yeah. He gave me that unconditional love and I had to do things to support him and give him that love and show him he was okay. And I don't think I'd have got through it without him. He very much moved me from being stagnant and stuck to moving, feeling differently, starting to go, okay, I need to do something about this.
Well, that for me reminds me of Sue's point, which she was talking about, just discovering what they need to do next. In a way, he facilitated, or your relationship with him facilitated the third B, really, space.
Yeah.
Which allowed you to discover what you needed to do next.
And also to be. Dogs are very good at just loving you no matter what. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you smell like, you know, anything like that. A dog will love you. They're really good like that. You've got this unconditional love. They can teach us a lot. And I felt that. I had this unconditional love from him. So if he can love me, I could love me. Because you have to take care of yourself and you have to have some love for yourself. You have to.
Well, certainly from a mental well-being perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the very thing, that's the very essence of the three B's, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Well, Claire was talking there about value base. I guess that value base thing is really important to you too, isn't it?
It is.
In any aspect of life, isn't it, really?
Definitely. And I think I too kind of lived a life that wasn't me, or that I kept trying to be me, or, you know, but I mean, essentially I lived a long time with the wrong person, which had a very detrimental impact on my mental well-being. I think I'm still learning about myself, you know. I'm 50 now, and it's kind of, and this is where I feel like the real discovery, I know it sounds really cliched, but it's kind of like only now am I starting to sort of
I'm totally with you. I'm going to be 50 next year, and I'm realizing only now am I beginning to grow up. I don't know. I've still been a child up until this point, really. Maybe I still will be. But I think you're right. There's an element of that cliched sort of coming to Jesus moment. And I'm not being spiritual, by the way, or religious, coming to Jesus moment when you get to this point in your life. Because we've dealt with and managed those trials and tribulations, and there is a sense of, I think it's more than resilience, even though Claire was referring to resilience earlier, I think it's more than resilience. I think it's an acceptance of what is, and an acceptance of what could be, and an acceptance of now. The false belief thing is quite a influencing dimension for us as human beings. So I wonder what your thoughts then are, Sue, in relation to false beliefs. You were referring to it earlier.
I think that sometimes it's convenient for us to have false beliefs because there's a sense of comfort. It feels familiar. You know, it's what we've learned. It's in, as you say, it's in our programming from wherever. It's a bit like putting on a pair of comfy slippers. You know, I know this territory. I know how I'm supposed to behave here. You know, I know I'm supposed to be, even if I don't like it, even if I'm feeling some resistance, I give into it, which is different to acceptance. It's a different kind of thing. I think for me, I think all of us, what we're all trying to do is we're trying to make sense of things. You know, every day that's really basically what we're all doing. We're all just trying to, you know, kind of make sense of what's going on around us, what's going on within us. And we have strategies for dealing with that, you know, and a lot of the time it doesn't involve digging in. It doesn't involve really thinking about it because that's uncomfortable and that's painful. And that will take us to places where we don't want to confront things. So we build a veneer, you know, or, you know, we can, it's easy. And I fell into a pattern of living a life that parts of it were me, but other parts of it really weren't. And I could never imagine that sort of 10 years later, I would be in a completely different relationship, you know, running a business that, you know, with my best friend, you know, and sort of being able to bring this to people.
I love the phrase, giving into false belief is different to acceptance.
Well, for me, acceptance is something that I'm learning about. So I have been learning about over the last several years. I think, is it that difference between kind of like action and apathy? So acceptance has a sense of, there's kind of like, I'm going to do something with it So it's sort of, I'm not going to live here. I'm not going to reside here. I've accepted that this is going on. I've accepted the past. That's happened.
And the false belief is giving into something, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's
giving
kind
up.
Of like, yeah, giving up, giving in. You're apathetic. It's sort of, I can't, you know, whereas acceptance is I can.
Oh, that's a lovely summation. Yeah. So we've gone from waffle to?
Wisdom.
Acceptance is I can, and giving in is I can't. So false belief is I can't.
All right. Or maybe it's I don't know how.
I don't know how.
Yeah. And that's where you need, you know, that you need to seek out the support. You need to kind of talk it through. You need to think about, you know, what is it I need? And that's something that I've been really bad at in my life, is thinking about what I need. It was really interesting when you were asking Claire the question about what's your passion, you know, what's the thing that
what
kind
does she
of
love, yeah.
And I was thinking, I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay, so perhaps I don't ask you the same question, but I ask you this, Sue: who are you? What do you stand for? What is your identity? Who is Sue Jones?
I think a lot of my identity was tied up in taking care and the giving, and then it sort of left me, you know, when I was on my own and, you know, kind of my relationship ended, and then it was kind of like, oh, right, what are you going to do now? You know, sort of like having,
almost
having,
like, who am I?
Yeah, who am I? Getting to know myself. What do I care about? And I remember doing a lot of introspection, a lot of journaling, a lot of all those kind of cliche things again. But it really helped me. It really helped me kind of, you know, sort of get it down. What do I care about? Who do I want to spend my time with? Where do I want to be? All of those questions, you know, what do I want my life to look like? Not in a, you know, I'm kind of striving for, it's got to be this kind of perfection, but just what are the ingredients that are going to give me that fulfillment or bring me back to my values, that sense. And that was kind of the path that I started to tread there.
This all leads us back to this authenticity that I said about before, because like Sue's just said, she really does struggle and still does sometimes to think about what does she need. She is very good at putting other people first. So, for example, me and Sue went along with another of our friends to this event in Liverpool, and these people were speaking and they wanted people to stand up and give a standing ovation every time somebody came on the stage. And it just didn't feel that it wasn't us. It wasn't us at all. I can understand they were trying something, but they were very much standing up going, I used to be like you. Now I'm brilliant. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. You can be like me if you follow this path. What you need to do is this. And it was very prescriptive. And it was saying, these are the things that you have to do. And me and Sue came away from that. Our other friend was very much, really enjoyed that. Yeah, I got something from that. And I felt awful until I spoke to Sue and I just went, I didn't. And she felt exactly the same way. Because I don't want to be like that person stood up. I want to be me. I don't want Sue to be like that person stood up. I want Sue to be her. And the same with you, Dion. I want you to be you. Because without us, what's the point? We're here for a purpose. So actually understanding and saying, look, we haven't got our shit together. We're still working on us. We will always be working on us. So it's not be like me, but what it is we understand. All of us understand where people are and will accept people for where they are at that point in time. And then we can support them by giving them these tools, techniques, time and space to listen to them, to find themselves where they want to be. And I don't mean find themselves in that sort of like cliche, but find out what makes them tick, be who they are, rather than, like Sue was saying before, conforming or trying or giving in to what they
the
think
false they beliefs need.
That false belief, yeah.
Yeah. So I got a question for you, Miss Sue Jones. If you could write a letter to your 14-year-old self, what would you say?
It's going to be okay. Yeah, you're going to find your way and you're going to have some adventures. You're going to kiss some frogs before you find your Prince Charming. But yeah, I think I'd tell her it's going to be okay and that she's got a lot of learning. It's all about learning and be open to it.
Mm. And what about you, Claire? What would you say?
I think I would say you need to accept yourself, and that's really important, and do it earlier. That she doesn't have to have all the answers right now. There will be learning, but what she needs to do is accept herself, because what she will bring to the world will be something that nobody else can bring. And that is amazing.
Wow. Thank you so very much, you two, for talking to me today. Claire Ross, Sue Jones, I've had a fab time talking about it. 3B, the mental well-being company.
Thanks for having us, Dion. It's been a blast.
Always a pleasure with you.
So that's it. The name's Newbronner, Dion Newbronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. Thank you.